Hello, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic night of Fandomexus. I am your ever faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. Got a little bit of a shorter show tonight. Discovery of Witches, iZombie, Killing Eve, Cloak and Dagger, and the 100. And I think this is all the things Jamie would like to talk about. So as soon as the ladies get here, we'll get underway. In the meantime, I can babble about, I don't know if anybody out there, how popular the movie was, but, Happy Death Day, which came out, I want to say, last year or the year before, it's a horror movie, but it's a funny horror movie, and it kind of, it's different, and it kind of puts a spin on things. Well, Happy Death Day to You, obviously part two, came out recently, and I just watched it last night, and it was a pretty good time, you know. The sequels never, 90% of the time, never are as good or surpass the original, but it was still a fun time. It's a fun horror flick. Yeah, I can't talk. So if you're into that kind of stuff, I highly recommend checking it out. TV-wise, I just got around to finally starting season 3 of Sensitivity to Diet, which stars Drew Barrymore and, crap, I'm blanking on his name. He was in Justified and Scream 2. Ah, crap, I can't think of the actor's name. I hate when I do that. Anyway, just started watching season 3. It's a funny show about the zombie family, basically. Well, not zombie family, just mom. Mom's a zombie. It's pretty funny. Good time. I'm very excited. Black Mirror season 5 starts in a couple days. I say it's May 6th. So that should be fun. I'm hearing that there are fewer episodes this season because apparently Bandersnatch, which is a Choose Your Own Adventure episode, movie, I guess, took a lot out of them. And there's only like 5 episodes this season, maybe 3. Unfortunately, because Black Mirror is a pretty good time. What else is going on? What else are we watching? I finished my Community binge. A little disappointed. Last 2 seasons weren't that great. Once Donald Glover left, did Chevy Chase, it kind of lost some of its luster. And then the last couple episodes of the final season, Yvette Nicole Brown had left, so didn't quite have its original. And I have a co-host, yay! Hello.
Hello. Sorry about that. I had the phone the other room. I had to go find it. Otherwise, it would be here. But hi.
Yeah, I just
bad. How are you guys doing?
Karen's not here yet either. Karen's not here yet.
Wait, I'm sorry. I got you in front of. What did you say? Karen's not here yet.
Nope. Just me. And now you.
Okay. Well, hopefully she's coming soon. At least I'm not the only one that's late. So why don't I, while we're waiting, since we don't watch the same thing, I could really quick talk about In Between, because that starts tomorrow. The show is basically about a woman who has some psychic abilities. She can talk to the dead and talk to the ones who are obviously in between, and she kind of can see the future and different things from what they tell her. And she helps solve murder cases because her, like, sort of foster father is a detective. So, I don't know. I mean, I think obviously that's been done before, because it sounds like Medium or something like that. I don't know. It sounded good, though. Saw the preview, and I thought it was going to be really good. And I like the story, and I'm not going to give any details, obviously, since it hasn't aired yet, but I like the story. I think the second episode was a lot better than the first one. I like the script, and, like, I like the whole, you know, like, mystery case of it, I guess you could say. But the characters were completely, completely underdeveloped, especially the lead. And I feel like if you don't like the lead of a show, that's not really good. So I think it deserves a chance and kind of see how it goes and if it starts getting a little bit better. But otherwise, I don't know that I'll keep watching it. But I think it's worth trying to see if you like it. I mean, it's got potential. I just, as of yet, I'm not real sure. And then the other thing, of course, that comes on 31st is Good Omens. And that one's, sorry, In Between's on NBC. Good Omens is on Amazon. And that's based on Neil Gaiman's book and Terry Pratchett. And that's really good. That I recommend. But reviews for both of those will be up. So, I don't know. I didn't think Karen would
be there.
Hi, you guys.
Karen's
sorry,
here.
I'm late.
Hey.
I looked at the
I
clock and it was 10 of, and then it was suddenly 5 after. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. I was a second late anyway. But I was just discussing my that I wasn't loving In Between yet.
Oh, are you watching it on screeners? I don't think I've ever even heard of it. Have
it's I? On NBC. It starts tomorrow. I was telling him, it's kind of like Medium. It's like she can talk to the dead and has some psychic abilities and she helps the cops. It seems like it could be good. I like the storyline, but the characters just are so underdeveloped. I don't know. I'm going to give it a little bit more time. Sorry, my head's really clogged. If I sound funny, I'm trying to breathe.
Yeah, sounds like you have a bit of a cold there.
Yeah, no, it's an allergy. anyway, I'm going to give it another chance. But I don't know. It wasn't as good as I expected it to be. But I was saying Good Omens is really good, though. That one's from Amazon. And obviously I've got interview too. All right. Well, now that you're here, do you want to get started on the one that we usually talk about?
Go for it, ladies.
Okay. Cloak and Dagger and the 100.
Okay.
Let's go first. All right. So should we do?
Okay, well,
what do you want to do?
I zombie because I have already sitting here and already out.
Okay. Great.
One first. Okay. So this one was called Zom. And they are trying their little play that didn't go so well. But so the other main storyline is with this doomsday prepper guy who's been making a bunker for only the people he wants. And he was killed by his girlfriend, who was a zombie, because he was paying this guy to make a way to figure out who was zombies to out them. And they were going to kill them because they didn't. Well, the other guy that he was working with was going to kill them because they didn't like the zombies. So it kind of put her in danger, and that's why she killed him. But the one thing I was going to ask you, I don't know if they just didn't resolve it, or I'm not remembering. Sometimes this show just doesn't resolve things. I remember, hear that, I fell asleep. I remember Liv saying that, like, they wanted that guy to go to jail because he was killing zombies. But they know she put the mushrooms in his backyard. Did they ever unarrest him and arrest her, or did they just kind of leave it go if she was saying he should go to prison?
Well, I think he had committed a crime. So, you know, I think he was trying to use people's personal data to, like, out zombies. I think there's no question that he committed a crime.
But he didn't commit murder.
There's actually a question to me
but
if that's a crime, but, you know, a zombie, it's a crime.
That's what I'm
yeah,
oh,
I think
yeah,
they still
yeah.
arrested him. I think they still arrested him for the murder, and, yeah, you're right, it was kind of unresolved. It was a very convoluted case of the week and kind of boring at the same time.
Yeah.
I thought that the tech billionaire whose brain she ate, that Liv ate, the tech billionaire's brain, was kind of a boring character. And, I thought he was funnier when he was human, and then it was less funny when Liv was on the brain, which is not the way it usually happens, right?
I agree. And so
he was, okay, I'm not sure if I got this straight. He was selling the data to the guy who wanted to out zombie. He wanted to out the zombies to get money to fund his arc
for
Doomsday.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Doomsday bunker that only humans are going to be allowed inside.
Right.
Which is, you know, I got to say, if I had to go into a Doomsday arc, I would maybe not want to be with zombies either because they might eventually have to eat us, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you wouldn't
yeah,
be able to get
that.
Out. You wouldn't be able to get out if the zombies, like, raged out or whatever.
Right. But he was also choosing who to save. It wasn't like he was killing people. It was the other
right.
guy who was actually going
right.
to kill the zombie.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, I think a lot of this I hadn't thought of I was listening to you talk about it was saying about the mountain people. You know what it reminds me of? Like, I think maybe, I don't know if they're trying to parallel it on purpose, but obviously this parallels a lot of, you know, real life stuff. It's making me think of, like, the Nazis when they made them wear the Star David and everything. Like, it's kind of, they're trying to, you know, segregate them, but
yeah.
they definitely tell who the zombies are and mark them out. Just like they got that teacher. Although thankfully a teacher was going to work with the zombie kids now. But now those frozen guys, that was the other thing that confused me. So the frozen guys were unfrozen, but that French guy and this other crazy zombie that I didn't get who he was, that they're going to use them, I don't
yeah.
know, to do whatever it
well,
is
one
they
of them,
want.
One of them was killed for his, yeah. So Frenchie apparently is a sort of a traitor to, I mean, would you consider him a traitor to Major? I would, right?
Yeah, or at least he's playing both sides right now anyway, but yeah.
And that bad guy that he teamed up with, I have no idea who that is either. The new, like, big bad guy, I have no idea who that guy is, where he came from.
Figure out what he wants, because he's, like, after Renegade, but she's not hurting the zombies, it's right? I mean, I don't think most of the zombies care if she's making more zombies, so I'm confused why he would want dirt on her. I don't know. I just didn't quite get that part, and like you said, it was kind of boring, and maybe I wasn't listening that well at that point.
I don't
point.
Know. Maybe
don't
because
know.
she collaborates with humans, or maybe... I think if they're inside a walled city, there's not really a lot of brain resources for new zombies to be made all the time, but I think that what this guy wants, right, he wants a complete zombie takeover. He's like, humans had their chance, we're the next step. He wants a zombie takeover, that guy. Right?
That's true.
And so I'm not sure if he means
out of brains again.
I'm not sure if he means
that, but.
I'm not sure if he means take over Seattle and just you know, run Seattle, or if he means take over the world, bust out of Seattle and take over the world, maybe is what he's after. He might not be aware, you know, as Peyton reminded us last week, that DC's just waiting to nuke Seattle. So if the zombies should take over Seattle, DC would nuke them right away.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't
that's
know.
A little
oh, not a great episode.
No, and that side plot is was a distraction from the other, like, side plot of the human terrorists, right? So remember, you know, the lady that runs
yeah.
the fish truck. Like, I thought
yeah,
she was the main.
There?
No, they weren't in it this week, but I thought
that's
she
thought.
Was sort of the main, like, side villain, and now we've got this other zombie villain guy. Then we've got the advertising campaign, which was the comic relief plot, right?
Yeah.
Which was maybe the best part of the episode this week. And then the whole blame
yeah,
thing with the reporter.
Yeah,
it took a lot of time.
Yeah, I'm not sure where that's going. I mean, but it was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just was not my favorite episode. It wasn't
no,
bad,
it really wasn't.
To say, but it just really was unnecessary, I feel like. I mean, I get they added that storyline, but I don't understand what's going on with the other storyline, I guess. So,
right, and then we have the teacher who blabs in the street, and now he's being blackmailed to get dirt on Liv. Right? There were like five separate stories
so
going
stupid,
on this week.
Though.
I
like,
know, right?
You know, the thing is, he was outed as a zombie and was being terrorized or whatever, not necessarily terrorized, but you know what I mean, because of that. And he knows
yes.
these kids were like can't go to school because of what happened. Why would you go around and tell people? Like, she specifically explained why. Like, this is dangerous. I'm not just doing this to be bitchy, you know? People never
right.
listen.
Yep.
So.
And he like runs his mouth standing in the line for the movie theater or wherever they were in line
yeah.
for.
It wasn't even
like
he just told his friend privately, it wouldn't have been so bad, you know?
Yeah, it was, yeah. But I guess it's a short season and enough time to, like, be dragging out these plots. But, yeah, I thought there was way too much going on, and the main story was kind of boring.
Yeah.
Like, the case of the week was kind of boring. Oh,
yeah.
Easy.
Hold on 1 second. I'm trying to,
sure.
to juggle everything and take it and not drop it, and I think I just lost the pill somewhere. Ah, crap. No, there it is. Sorry, I'm listening. I'm just trying not... Not
anyway, yeah,
it.
I agree with you that it was not really the best episode. It wasn't very good. And a lot of, there's like too many, I think there's too many subplots going on. It's like really complicated
yeah.
for the
but
final season.
About the human terrorist, at least. They
yeah.
need to add even more.
Yeah. And in the final season, like, they're introducing tons of new stuff instead of sort of resolving, like, you know, I mean, I think what we want to, what, I guess if this was two seasons ago, I would have told you what I wanted in the end of the show was for all the zombies to get cured and for Liv and Major to get back together.
Yeah, and they're just adding more crap, so, yeah.
Yeah. So,
we'll
I'm not sure
they're
going to resolve it. Yep.
It's only episode 4, though, so, I mean, they've got some time
that's
to
true.
Wrap it up. That's
yeah.
So.
That's true, yeah.
All right.
It's early in the season.
All right. All right.
Okay.
So you want to move on to Discovery of Witches?
Sure.
I don't know why I'm like, I'm looking at this. I'm like, what happened? I watched it. Why am I not remembering? So,
season finale.
Season finale. Matthew was trying to teach Diane how to protect herself. And it was kind of the end of that. But when she went to find, she was using her senses. And I think I kind of told you something about this before, but I didn't want to go into the whole thing, that in the book, she does this thing where she kind of uses her senses and closes her eyes and walks a lot, which they kind of showed that, but they didn't exactly explain it. But it's more in the book. But that's she could sense that there was a vampire, and obviously it was Juliet. And then she brought witch's fire to kill her, even though she, you know, hadn't necessarily intended to do that. She had to do that to save Matthew. And then Juliet had bitten Matthew, and she called to the goddess, and she used her blood in order to save him, which he maybe couldn't have necessarily stopped, but I think because of their connection and because she kind of showed him memories and that, he was able to, and that was kind of the one main thing, and then I'm seeing,
and
I'm
then
like
there was a lot.
Here. Oh, and, sorry?
Well, there was a lot going on with the congregation in this episode also.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. Yeah, the other thing was that they're trying to, well, Jaber is trying to vote Baldwin out because they want him and Knox want to take over. But they're outvoted because Agatha votes for them because she wants to keep Dinah safe and everything because of her daughter-in-law. And then also Domenico, who, as we said before, is always for himself. He decides to go on his side just so he can kind of have him in his pocket when he needs him down the road. But it's kind of for right now halting, I guess. Not completely, but at least for the moment of the episode, it kind of halts that. But then they decide to time walk, so they show up at the house right before they time walk. And the whole thing is that they need three different pieces through time, and that's when they get the earring. And I think most in the other episode, the Alchemical, when they got the second page, Alchemical Wedding. I don't know if we had talked about that, but I don't think
they got a page of
the
book. Her father had left a page of the book. We didn't really talk about it, yeah.
Right. I don't think they, even on the show, really discussed the page. I think that's more in the book, so we won't get into it. But the main point is that in order to be safe, they're time-walking into another time, and they're going to go to a time when she can learn how to do her magic. And that's kind of the main gist of it. So what did you think? Now that you know kind of everything that's going on, and
well, I thought there was a lot that I liked about this episode, but the final scene, what a horrible, horrible way to end it! What a terrible cliffhanger ending, right? Where
well, they knew they were
coming
back, so
where Jaber and Sato and what's his name Knox come to the house in some sort of like camouflage bubble. And you know how they show the last scene where they're about to time walk and then there's like this knot, they come in the door and Diana turns and, you know, that's
yeah.
where it ends. I mean, I thought it was a very sort of I don't know. I didn't appreciate that type of a cliffhanger. And you know what's going to happen is that she's, I mean, what I think is going to happen is that, you know, the last thing she says to Matthew is like, don't let go of my hand for any reason. So you know what's going to happen is like, she's going to time walk alone. And they're either going to be separated in time or only she'll go and he won't. Yeah, I know. You've read it.
Well, I think that they ended it. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I think they did that on purpose to give it a cliffhanger. That isn't I mean, there's some problems in the book, but it isn't exactly like that. I think they more just did that to be like an oh my God moment for people that didn't read the book.
I could have also been oh my God when they time walk and it's not 1610 or wherever they're 1590 wherever they were going, or they time walk and they're separated, which is what I kind of expect will happen, is that she'll be back in time without him to protect her or introduce her to any of his like famous friends or whatever.
I don't know. I don't want to confirm or deny, but next season is about the other time period and Diana Laurentiis.
I liked a lot of the stuff with the congregation, partly because, you know, I always liked the sort of political stuff among the species. And I really liked all the stuff that went on at the farmhouse. And, you know, Matthew is among my least favorite characters in the show. But I really liked how there was like how it paralleled the congregation, where there was a group of witches, demons and vampires like working together to protect Diana and to really feel that like cross species, you know, friendship and relationship is possible, and how it paralleled the congregation of these, like, you know, three groups who really are opposed to each other. And, you know, the congregation keeps the peace, but that's all it does. There's no, I kind of like that. And I liked, you know, it wasn't really, so Matthew wanted to like teach her how to defend herself, but really Matthew can't do that. It was her two aunts who were teaching her how to defend herself.
Well,
like,
but
he
it
can't
wasn't
teach
going
her magic.
Fast with her aunts. That's why he was just trying to get her scared, I think, because she used it when she got scared. But I'll tell you, this
well,
place
she did last
recap.
Week.
They didn't even put her turning around and being like scared. They didn't even add that to the ending. That's why I said that was kind of like just a couple extra seconds.
Yeah, but, I mean, she did Diana did it herself last week when she like, you know, got Matthew to chase her. Yeah.
Well, I think the thing is she needs somebody who can teach her better than her aunt, even. You know, she really needs that. Because she never, I mean, everybody else would have, like, went to school. You know, she didn't get to do that, so she's at a loss. Go ahead.
I think part of the point is that, you know, Matthew's genetic research is into the fact that witches were much more powerful in the past, and witches are just becoming less and less powerful, right? That's why he's doing, like, magic is dying out of all these creatures, which is what his research is about. So in the past, witches were more powerful, I think, is one reason why it's important to go back in the past to learn.
That's true. I didn't know it said about that way, but I guess that's true. That makes sense. But anyway, I was going to say, kind of going over what I've kind of hinted at on and off all season, and since I couldn't didn't see all of them to know exactly what happened which episode, I'm just going to say her, you know, she is completely unbound now, and that was what I was trying to say obviously before, that her powers were wrapped up in her being bound, and that was why she couldn't control her powers. So now she can do whatever she wants, she just has to learn how to do it. But she can, you know, she's been holding back because she didn't have a choice. And as to how I was saying, you know, it really had nothing to do with Matthew, but yet he was connected because he was in all her her mother's prophetic dreams that he would be there. I wasn't saying that he would necessarily, you know, had anything to do with it, but just that he would be there while she was learning, you know.
I think there's more going on. Because his mother's earring came to them from out of the chimney, right?
Timey-wimey stuff. I think I could say that without...
No, but she's
really
obviously somehow involved. He's like, oh, I lost this that night. And, like, I just wonder if she knows more than she's letting on. And maybe that's partially why she gave in so quickly when Matthew decided... When, you know, she came around pretty quickly when Matthew was like, I'm in love with Diana, and... we're like, you know, mating or whatever it is that we're doing. And the mother's like, okay. Isabel's like, okay, whatever. She gave in pretty quick. And I wonder if
she did. I think you may be thinking too much into it, though. I think. Because that's
right.
I'm like thinking, that really is anything. No, so I think it's okay to say that. But no, I think she loves Matthew, and it's kind of like, and I said this kind of before, and you get this more when you read the book, that their politics and their rules and everything are different, and it's like, you know, she accepts her because he accepts her. She doesn't have to like it, but she doesn't necessarily, and because she's good, she doesn't necessarily have a choice, but more of that comes into play next season.
Yeah.
Well, will come into play next season, going by the book, but I don't know. I can't wait to see next season. It's going to be expensive, though, I would think. I mean, I know they have the scenery and everything, but the whole, like, pretty much, I don't know, I'm trying to remember. I read both of the second and third books together, but, like, one after the other. But I'd say probably most of it, at least, like, 85%, if not more, is all period, cause at least with the main action, with them going on. So they're going to have period costumes, and I don't know. It's just going to be really cool, I think. I'm excited to see how they pull it off, because this is a very nice-looking show. Like, their sets are gorgeous. And
it is. I was a little worried as I watched them getting ready to go to the pass that it was going to be kind of like Outlander, but with magic.
I haven't watched Outlander, so I don't know.
Well, it's about this woman who goes back in time and, like, gets stuck there and falls in love with a guy, and, you know, she's modern and you know, does some stuff like, I mean, I don't watch it, but I was like, oh, is this just going to be like, you know, about people stuck in the past or whatever, but with magic?
No,
but I guess,
they purposely,
I don't know. They're going to look for the book, I guess,
traveling.
Maybe.
Yeah, the rest
if they
of
can
the
find
book,
the book. And,
I don't
want
about that.
Yeah. Actually, I'm really glad that what's her name? That horrible vampire that was in love with Matthew. The woman who
Juliet.
Was killed this week.
Yeah.
Oh, Juliet. I've hated Juliet since the beginning, and I have to say, in retrospect, she's a pretty useless character. Like, maybe there's more to her in the book, but all she did was like keep going around whining that she was in love with Matthew, and then like, you know, get killed in the end. And I know that she talked about how Jabert created her to be Matthew's perfect woman and trained her and. Like, I guess there's more there to how he's been trying to undermine Matthew's family for a long time, it sounds like. And I don't know, maybe there's a little more to her in the book, but she seems to, like, really not had much of a point or really done anything. Except to conveniently...
I don't remember. I don't think
she conveniently shows up at a moment when, you know, Diana, like, performs some strong magic.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that kind of is unresolved to me is that witch that Jabert kept captive all that time. And so Sato lets her go, and he's mad, but I don't know. He's mad at her, but he's like, well, I just want, you know. I guess he wants to get Diana to do the same thing to her and imprison her like that. But
probably.
Like,
that's
I
kind
feel
of my,
like,
one of my thoughts.
Yeah.
And also, he's trying
to
figure out that, not curse, but that prophecy.
The prophecy,
He thinks it's probably Diana.
Yeah.
But, you know, that'll come out more into play. I don't know. I mean, I think if people want to know more, they should read the book. The first book isn't as extra in-depth. Like, I feel like you learn a lot more once you get to the second book. Like, the first book isn't as in-depth. I don't know, as I feel like maybe, at least from what I remember. That's why I said I read them all together, so it's hard for me in my mind to separate them. But I remember that the first book was a lot like the season. Like, there was some extra stuff in it. But the stuff that you pick up that kind of makes some of the season feel more fleshed out is, I think, in my opinion,
from the second book.
Yeah. But we'll see how you like it. Like I said, next time there's a good story, but there's also, I feel like, more romance, too, compared to this. So I don't know. You may or may not, you know, be on board with that. We'll see. But but I don't know. I'm curious to see how it comes out and what it looks like and everything.
Did you say it was already renewed for two seasons or just for one?
Yeah, they're doing all three for the three books. There is a fourth book, but it's like a spinoff. It's about Marcus, I just think. And also, the other thing we didn't talk about is that he's called those Knights.
The Knights.
Yes, I don't know. I seriously don't understand anymore. I'm like talking lately when I do this podcast. I'm like, like I'm constantly thinking for the words of things, but the Knights of Lazarus or whatever, he's called them to help them.
Yeah, it seems to me that putting Mark, I'm with Marcus that he's not up to the task. He seems a little bit young and goofy for that job, but I guess we'll see how he steps up to the
plate.
Yeah,
and there's also a lot more. That there is more detail in, like, explaining kind of more what the Knights are and kind of what their role is and how they've, like, helped people through history and that kind of thing. Like, it explains it a little bit better. Those are the kind of things. It's just it wasn't as important, so they had to, you know, they had to cut it out. But
it's
anyway,
obviously going to be important, or they wouldn't have, like, included it at all.
Right, right.
So.
Yeah, it's definitely,
yeah.
definitely important.
Yeah.
Okay, so where the heck? Oh, I know why I can't find my paper, because it's in my things I wrote out. That's why. All right, well, that's it with that. Tell me you watched the end of Killing Eve, please.
I did. And while we haven't been talking about the show, but I do think we should totally talk about the season.
Yeah, I've
it's
liked
a very
the show
popular
a lot,
show.
But after I don't know. I was just like, after I watched this, it was one of those ones that just kind of like was stuck in my head and I was still thinking about, to the point that I went out and wrote a review and a recap because I wanted to kind of go through it. So a lot happened. Kind of, the main action is that Villanelle finds out that the person he might be selling to is Raymond, and he's that guy that was after before, the handler of the 12. And she tells him she sees, has seen his murder videos, but she calls with the safe word for Eve to come help her because she supposedly thinks she's in trouble. And Eve rushes there, and meanwhile, Hugo gets shot, who she just leaves on the floor. And then she eventually makes it to her, and she ends up, Villanelle ends up killing Aaron and kind of helps her. She's still in shock a little bit at that point, helps her get away, and then Eve decides to go back for the recordings. And when she does go back, she finds out that everything's gone and been cleaned up. But she does decide to go off with Villanelle rather than Carolyn, who is completely insane, but we'll get to that. I just kind of wanted to run through. Those are, I think, the main talking points. But the one question I had for you that I'm kind of curious what your thoughts were is I was trying to figure out how much she actually told Aaron before she called Eve, because when she starts talking about she's seen the videos, he doesn't seem fazed. Like, he expects her to want to go on a murder spree with him. I don't know if he just knew she was insane or if she had started to say she was lying, because, like, when she was talking in a Russian accent, like, he was surprised but not surprised that she was lying. I don't know, unless I'm just reading too much into it. I was just kind of curious what you thought, because that was one of the things that kind of I thought about when I was watching it.
I don't think she told him too much. I mean, he was surprised when she spoke Russian. I don't think she had confessed, and he was surprised to see Eve, right? So I don't think Villanelle had told him much. He might have still thought she was Billy. I mean, he definitely knew there was more to her. Maybe because
yes,
he's able to read
back,
people. I mean, from the minute she hit him with the book, he knew there was more to her. And that's when he became interested in her. I think he is a little bit, I think he's a lot like Villanelle. He's a psychopath also. And, like, doesn't really like, you know, I think maybe he just expects her, thinks she's the kind of person who would like that, wants her. I mean, I think it's, so I really liked the way Aaron and Villanelle's story paralleled Villanelle and Eve's story in this last episode.
Yeah.
And so much of, like, what Villanelle saw in Aaron and, like, his final moments, she then turned around and played out against Eve in the second half of the episode. I liked that. Kind of. And I really liked, I mean, we've seen over the last couple episodes how really, like, unhealthy this, I don't want to call it a relationship, but whatever is going on with Eve is really not in a good place, right? Eve is not.
I think you can say relationship without meaning, you know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
More than that. That's how I've been writing the recap.
Yeah. I mean, Eve is really, like, unhealthily obsessed with Villanelle.
Yeah.
And
Villanelle's unhealthily obsessed with her too, but we already knew that.
Yeah, but Villanelle is like a sociopath, right?
Yeah.
Or a psychopath, or I mean, she's completely unable to, like, you know, form relationships and understand, like, have empathy or understand anything. Eve is allegedly a functioning human being,
right?
Who's, like, I think what was, like, last season a fascination with Villanelle. you know, has become, I mean, was it this season or last season when Zanella said, you won't kill me, you like me too much. And
I think
we went, like,
she went to stab her last season.
Yeah. We went so far down that. So I liked that. I thought Aaron actually being a psycho killer was a little bit, like, out of left field. There were all those deaths around him which were being committed by the ghost, right? Like, the ghost killed so many people.
Yeah, and then so we find out he killed other women, and maybe he just kept it quiet. I don't know.
Yeah.
The only thing I was going to say is he was different, though, I think she realized, too, because he said, like, how he didn't want to be with anybody. Like, he didn't want to touch anybody or talk to anybody or whatever. And I know she made a point of saying she was different than that. The only thing I was going to say is, though, I don't think she ever intended to, like, go with him. I mean, I think that everything she said to him was totally to bait Eve. And, you know, he's just walking into a trap. I wonder, though, you know, she says to her, do you think I'll kill you? And Eve says yes. But, you know, I don't know that I believe that she really thought that. I feel like Eve still in the back of her mind thinks that she won't hurt her. Because you notice as much as she says that, she doesn't move. She doesn't do anything. She is kind of like, and I mean, I guess she could be frozen. But I just, like, as much as she says that, I don't know if she actually expects her to kill her. But I think, you know, we definitely knew that Aaron was you know, going down. But I like that. I feel like in this episode, they're both totally on the same side, and they both seem to, during the episode anyway, completely trust each other, because Eve's been saying, oh, she's on our side, oh, she's on our side. And, like, Villanelle, you know, even tells Constantine she won't leave her. So there's definitely been a trust built, not that there should be, but a trust built in this episode, and Villanelle kind of leads her around while she's in shock each time, which I thought was kind of funny. But the thing that got me was the whole Hugo thing. Like, I know that Eve's cold and Eve cares about Villanelle in her own twisted way, but the fact that she just left him there, I think, finally proves that she's gone, like, too far gone, you know?
Yeah.
The thing that I thought was funny, though, and stupid but kind of funny, is that, you know, she goes down to the lobby, nobody's there. She could have ran outside. She could have gotten anybody, but no, she goes to leave a note at the front desk. Like, that's going to do anything, you know?
Yeah.
I thought that was funny. And then that guy comes and asks her out, which was funny. But, yeah, and then I think after that is when Constantine talks to Villanelle while she goes to get the audio recordings. That's kind of after that, I think. I was trying to see exactly.
They sort of simultaneously, like, Eve goes back to get the recordings because really to protect herself, right? Because Villanelle has now killed Aaron,
and
she needs the recordings to prove that he was, you know, the killer. But so, you know, I mean, to me, one of the biggest moments of the episode was what happens here, as you're describing, that, you know, Eve finds out from Carolyn that it was a setup, and Villanelle finds out from Constantine that it was a setup, and they're both, like, really, really hurt and angry.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of heartbreaking. But I have a question for you, because there's one thing I want to discuss. I was trying to find your name. I was talking to somebody Sunday, I think it was, on Twitter about this, because the fact that it was a setup and they all cleaned up, I really didn't think much of it. I figured MI6 was setting Eve up because they really wanted that guy dead, and that the other team wanted Aaron dead too, and they were just waiting to kill her. But after I talked to this person, it made me think that it makes more sense. I thought that just Carolyn was, like, giving him the location of his family, but it might have been that the two sides actually planned it together. Like, Carolyn could have potentially been the one that wanted Villanelle and was, like, went to Constantine, because Constantine says, oh, someone higher up wanted you to kill Aaron. And then talk about, you know, it could be Carolyn, which I think makes it even worse. But I don't know. I never thought about the 12 working with her. I, through the whole episode, just kind of assumed it was two different factions and then never thought about it. But if I think back, like, the guy that came into her room, why would that have been one of MI6? Like, I thought, I don't know why. When I watched it, I just assumed, like, that was one of Aaron's guys. But it doesn't really make sense when I think back on it. It probably was somebody from the 12. It makes more sense. But
yeah.
The one thing, though, that I had said that actually makes more sense than I had thought it would, but when I was watching it, I don't know why, just sometimes, you know, a weird thought comes into your head, and whenever everything was cleaned up, and I'm like, okay, it's Hugo, okay. When I had first seen it, for some reason, I got this feeling like maybe it wasn't real, and he was, like, in on part of it, and,
I
like,
thought
got
that
up.
Also.
And then the more we were talking about it, I'm thinking that would totally make sense because the whole point was to get Eve out of that room and down to where Villanelle was. So, like, you know, he came in and caused problems just to get her there and kind of force her down. So, yeah, he could have been on it. It was sad that Kenny knew. He did warn her. I mean, it's kind of her own fault. But I don't know. Yeah, I felt bad. Yeah, I felt bad for both of them. I mean, I guess you shouldn't feel bad for Villanelle, but just kind of that she's been played too. And, you know, she does trust that Eve will come back, and, you know, Eve does. And then Villanelle gets out of the car and goes after Eve, even though she knew it was dangerous. And that guy's in there with an axe. Now, I think at that point we knew what was going to happen. I mean, Villanelle obviously wants Eve to be like her, keeps saying she's like her and everything. So she, you know, acts helpless, so Eve saves her, which I got to say, that whole scene with the axe was pretty awesome and pretty cool. But, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say what she did. I mean, she couldn't go to jail or anything if they found out what she did, because technically she did it to save Villanelle. She didn't know she had the gun. And, yeah, she's a bad, you know, quote-unquote bad guy, but at the same time, she was working with her unit. So her protecting her was really, I mean, she didn't have to, you know, chop his head off. But
the first chop was to protect Villanelle. The second chop was Villanelle goaded her.
Right.
Was like, he'll come after us. He'll try to get us,
right.
You know.
Right. But I'm saying, I still don't think anything would happen to her for it. But morally, she's got to get, you know, I don't know. She's completely crossed over the deep end, and I don't know if she can come back. And, you know, that's what Eve wanted, or what Villanelle wanted, and I think it was pretty obvious. It just took her way too long to see it.
I thought the whole time that I felt like Villanelle was very much like Aaron, like wanting to watch someone kill, right? Like,
yeah.
You know how Aaron wanted to watch Villanelle kill Eve, and they would kill together and stuff, and let's go, and then we'll become, like, you know, killers together or whatever. And I'll give you everything. And I feel like that's exactly what was happening. She wanted to watch. She wanted to see Eve kill someone. She wanted to see Eve become like her. And, oh, I'll take care of you. Let's go on. You know, then she think they're going to, like, go off and have a life together and be together. And
yeah,
it just seemed like really. I mean, so I also feel sorry for Villanelle sometimes. And, you know, there are things in her life that made her be the way she is. You know, she's an orphan who never had anybody to love her and was raised
although
to be a killer or whatever.
Although apparently has some family member.
Yeah,
member
apparently,
left.
Yeah,
that
apparently there's family somewhere. That was interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, she, you know, she loves Eve, and I'm still not, I don't think it's romantic love. I think Villanelle might think it's romantic love, but I think really it's more about being just unloved her whole life by anyone ever, right?
Yeah, I don't think she understands what it means, and that's why the episode's called You're Mine. I mean, she thinks she loves Eve, but she wants to possess Eve.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is. Eve, through the whole thing, is just kind of like, you know, floating through, though, so out of it. I did like when she slapped her in the face. That was, I think, my favorite part of the whole episode. That was funny. But, you know, she takes so long, she's not even paying attention, because Eve's like, oh, you know, we'll go to Alaska. What do you want for dinner? And she's totally answering her and just going along with it until she sees the gun. And I feel like if she had maybe been more into, like, knowing what was going on, I feel like maybe she could have gotten out of there without getting hurt. Because she, I mean, Eve is a psychopath, or Vanilla Nell is a psychopath, and I feel like there was maybe a better way to communicate with her and then leave, or, you know, make up some shit, not just be like, this ain't going to happen, because she totally burst their bubble and was like, no, you know, we're not going to go off together. We're not going to be Bonnie and Clyde, you know, to get her to see it. But, you know, she kind
and
of
she has
not
tried to
that.
Say that to Villanelle before, kind of, in some ways.
Yeah, but she usually kind of backs off, because she usually says that and then still follows her anyway.
No,
so
although she has made it clear. she's made it clear more than once that she's in love with her husband. Although, like, that whole thing is left unattended. Like, there's no chance of Eve ever getting back together with her husband at this point, I don't think, after what happened with Charlotte.
And I think her not being with him and not trying to not do things because it could put him in trouble, not that she was doing a great job, but I feel like after he left her, I feel like that even left her more open to, like, doing crazy and going off with Bill now. But I don't know. I feel like Eve does give her mixed signals sometimes, though, because she says, you know, things to Eve, like she loves her husband, like you said, but then sometimes she does things that makes it seem like she, and again, I don't think Eve has those kind of feelings for her. I mean, they act like sometimes they both have sexual feelings, but I think I keep just saying obsession because that's just kind of what I see it as.
Yeah.
Even with Eve, like she's so like interested, like this is so, like she needs to know everything about it. Like not own her like, you know, Villanelle, but kind of like she needs to know everything. And she keeps going. Yeah. And I think that Eve doesn't understand, or Villanelle doesn't understand what love is. And I think that she mistakes some of the way she acts for, you know, other things. And, I don't think Villanelle's in love with her either. I think she thinks she is, but I don't think she understands what that means.
She's not capable. She's a psychopath.
Right.
She's, like, literally, I think, not capable of, like, loving anyone.
Yeah, which is why it's kind of sad. I did like
and
she
can't,
her
and
end,
she,
though, because it paralleled the end of last season when Eve stabbed her. Sorry. I was gonna say that.
Yes, I like that also, and I like that when she pulled the trigger, I was so pissed. I was like, is it going to end right now? She pulls the trigger. We don't know if she shot her. And then I was like, thank God they showed Eve lying there on the ground.
Yeah, she fell.
And she's really been shot. I, you know what? I don't think it's going to turn out that she's wearing a bulletproof vest or anything like that. She's going to be really shot. And she's in this place by herself. So either, I mean.
Yeah, I'm wondering if next season is kind of going to be like, I could see it being like Villanelle, like thinking she's nursing her back to health and kind of like keeping her prisoner. I don't know why, but that's kind of what I envision.
Like a Misery type scenario.
Yeah. Well, hopefully not quite like that, but yeah. I just kind of feel like that way. Because I think it could have went, like, I don't know, part of me wanted it to be like maybe you knew that they weren't going to go and, like, have a crime spree or whatever, but I think there's, like, this kind of tiny part of you that thinks that would have been fun, though, you know. But,
something had to
give one way or another, so.
And if Eve is no longer, if she can't trust Carolyn and won't work for MI6 anymore, then she's unprotected and out of her league and not capable of defending herself. Just because you killed one guy with an axe when Villanelle was holding him down basically for you does not make you able to defend yourself against the 12.
Pretend he's a log or something like that.
Pretend he's a log.
I don't know if she chopped him in the head or chopped his head off. It was unclear, but it was still funny.
Yeah, it was great. But she's in a dark place and I loved it also how they paralleled last season and had her just, you know, be shot and Villanelle leaving her is exactly, you know, where we were a year ago, which is kind of awesome and really well done. Like if you told me that I was going to watch a show that would have basically the same season finale 2 years in a row, I'd be pissed, but it was really great.
And the other thing I want to mention, this has nothing to do with anything, but those ruins that they were in, that had to have been like an on location.
Oh my God, that was spectacular, wasn't it? That was
beautiful. Especially like the cinematography was great with it too.
I kept feeling like Villanelle, shut up! Eve is trying to look at it, right? Like stop rushing her. She's looking at these gorgeous ruins. That was amazing.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
I don't know. I think my main questions still are how Carolyn is connected to the 12 and exactly what the whole plan was, like why somebody came into her room and all that, because it really wasn't. I mean, maybe it doesn't need to be explained. I don't know. But I didn't get that the first time I watched it. So
I have thought for a long time, starting in season one, that she could possibly be in the 12. And be like so like undercover that even some of the 12 don't know, or definitely like working with the. I mean, I agree with you that they were in it together. Maybe I think it was more than a coincidence that Carolyn was setting Eve up, hoping that they would all get killed, and that the 12 was setting. You know, so Raymond wasn't.
Yeah,
I don't think Raymond
wanted to kill.
Yeah, Raymond, I don't think, was ever – the 12 was never a legit buyer. Like, I don't believe the 12 was ever interested in buying Aaron's weapon. They just wanted to get in there and kill Villanelle. And that was how
right.
they get close to her, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, if you're the 12, Villanelle's got to go.
Well, yeah, because she doesn't listen anymore. They can't control
no,
that.
No, she's a total liability.
Yeah. And at least Constantine gave her a chance to escape. I felt bad between them, too, because, I mean, I don't know. He's like her only friend, you know. But he did try to save her life. He's just kind of like, you know, I can't stop it from happening. And it's kind of like a warning,
yeah.
you know. This is what's coming. You better protect yourself. And
yeah.
I did like that she still went to save Eve. That's why I said I think she does care about her in her own twisted way. I just don't think it's
yeah.
what – I think she's also got, like I said, is obsessed with her as well. But,
yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
But they saved each other.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I'm so glad you took to the show this season, because I watched it last season, like, by myself, and I'm so glad that people
yeah.
I know are getting into
it. I didn't think it would be my kind of show. It just doesn't seem like it.
Yeah.
But it's one of those ones where it's so different. It's just, like, really unique, and the characters
yeah.
make me want to watch it, and I really like it. The other thing I
you
like,
know, this,
too, now I'm watching is Loser, because I'm catching up for the new season, but... that's nothing like this, but it made me think of it.
You know, Killing Eve is also based on a set of novels, which I'm sort of
yeah.
intrigued by, maybe trying to read, yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing is, Jodie, I don't know how to pronounce her name, Comer, I don't know. I was
yeah.
thinking when I was watching it, it kind of makes me think of Orphan Black in the sense that she, like, switches accents and people and personalities and everything really, really quickly, really well.
She does. She's
I think
great.
That's
yeah.
one of the reasons why it's really good. So.
Yeah. She's amazing in this. She really is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I guess that's it. Were the only shows, weren't they?
Mm-hmm. That was it. And now two of them are done. But next week... Fear the Walking Dead will be back, so we'll be watching that.
Oh, and Nosferatu as well. Are you guys going to watch that? I mean, I'm definitely going to watch that, but I have to write a review.
I'm going
to
give it at least one episode.
On an MC.
I'm not sure if it's my going to be my speed. The more I was intrigued by it, but the latest promo is kind of turning me off. But we'll see. I'll give it at least one episode.
Yeah, well, it's on the same day as Fear the Walking
yeah.
Dead, so. So, yeah, that's
the only way
that
for us
like
is going to work is if it's dark as the original.
Have you read it? Oh, it's not really a remake of the original movie. It's, like, got a lot going on. That also is based on a comic book, right? Or a book. It's based on a book or a graphic novel, I think. Definitely a book it's based on.
It was a graphic
novel. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you read it, AJ?
No. I just saw the original Black and White movie.
Oh, yeah. I love that movie. It's awesome. I'll give it an episode, especially since there's nothing on Sundays right now. So, all right.
Okay. Well.
So we'll convert to those two next week.
Have fun.
Right,
yeah, so. We'll talk next week.
All right, now we'll take the AJ show.
Bye,
Jamie.
All right, bye, Jamie.
Bye.
Take
bye,
care.
Bye.
Bye.
You too. Bye.
Okay, hi, AJ.
Alrighty.
All right.
Cool. What are we doing first?
Well, let's do Cloak and Dagger, since it was the better of the two.
So what did you think?
And... Well, I watched it several days ago. So this was all about trying to find Andre. And I struggled a little bit with how easy it has become for Tandy to go back and forth between the record store and the real world. But I forgot that she's always had the power to see people's hope. She sees hope and Tyrone sees fear, right? Is that how this works? I mean, she's always had that power. So this week was all about trying to find Andre, and we had a whole bunch of flashbacks about this, right? This was the whole flashback episode of how Andre, like, got to where he is right now. with the headaches and picking up how he picked up Leah along the way and all that.
One thing that annoyed me about the flashback was instead of saying 8 years ago, it said 96 months ago. Like, really? You're going to make me do fucking math to figure out how many years ago it was.
Yes, I'm like, okay, divided by 12. So what does that mean? Yes, I did the same thing. and to me, they were a little bit unnecessary. Like, we knew that he had, like, cancer or some illness that gave him headaches, and he can't concentrate on music anymore because of the headaches or whatever. I guess the big thing we learned was that you know, how he met Leah, and that, you know, what's up with my phone? Oh, I'm getting an amp. Can you hear that? Can you hear me? I'm getting an Amber Alert on my phone. Yeah. Oh, my phone's like buzzing and buzzing and buzzing from the Amber Alert. I mean, we also saw how, I mean, so I guess one thing I'm struggling with is Andre's powers. And he's got these headaches. And I guess they're not from cancer. They're like a side effect of his powers, maybe, or something. His powers are confusing to me.
He got the headache. He had headaches to begin with, which is why he tried to commit suicide. The night he was a jazz musician, and the night that he hit some note that is like impossible to hit, and he nailed it, he like had an aneurysm or something, and he's been having headaches ever since.
Right.
And then he goes to kill himself, and he jumps into the river at the same time that Roxxon goes up, which is how he gets his headache.
Yeah, it's the rig explosion. So he got his powers kind of the same way Tandy and Tyrone got their powers from the explosion.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. So, yeah, we have huge Andre backstory and Tyrone and Tandy trying to find him. And I feel like I can't remember much. So Bridget is like helping that. She and Tandy are working together, trying to find Andre. And there was all this side story of Tyrone talking to the gang and trying to like fix that also. Right. He went to the gang and was like, you guys are done being in a gang. Like, I don't care what you do. I don't care if you sell drugs, but like no more killing people or whatever, right?
Yeah.
I kind of liked that, but I kind of was like, wait, this is sort of random on the side of like this really important thing that's going on. Oh, when he caught his mother lying to him. He caught his mother lying to him. Was that this week or last week? When he spied in the window and saw his mother burning the bloody papers. Yeah. So, I don't know. What did you think? I didn't really say what I thought. I was trying to recap it in my head because even though I just watched it a couple days ago, I couldn't, like, remember it.
When he, last week, I wasn't sure if she actually killed him or if it was some kind of plot, you know. I don't know what the point of lying about telling him was going to be, but I'm like, remember I told you, it just didn't feel right. It felt out of character. It just didn't make sense to what was going on. And this week we find out, she definitely killed his ass.
Yep. And doesn't really feel bad about it at all. I mean, granted, he killed her son and caused her other son to have to go on the run. So he's a horrible person, but she's cold, huh?
Yeah, I mean, and she's a lawyer, so apparently she knows how to get away with murder.
Wait, she should have her own show. I don't know how Tyrone is going to feel about that. He has caused people's deaths also, but he's like a righteous superhero, but can't his mom also be sort of a righteous hero, killing people who need killing?
Yeah. His mother killed Connor in cold blood.
Yeah.
When Tyrone Tyrone's been responsible for people dying, hasn't really killed anyone.
Yeah. Yeah. And had them tied up and like killed people who like were defenseless, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean that was huge. That was like the second hugest thing that happened or maybe kind of the hugest thing that happened, depending on how you feel about the ending of this episode. Which, was this the season finale? Yes, right?
No, next week.
There's one more? There's one more.
One more.
So that last scene confused me a little bit. No, you can't. But, you know, we had that final scene where they're so much of their confrontation with Andre, I can never, it's sometimes hard to know whether it's in, like, the dark, what do they call it, the dark place, the dark force, or if it's in the real world. And that last bit with him playing the music and all those people, I was like, wait, is this real or is this not real? And then we see Tandy's mother is there. And I was like, wait, how did she get there? Like, that's what kind of, like, I know that her mother was missing last week, and we didn't know if she was on a bender or whatever, but how she came to be there, I guess she must have been targeted by Andre. Although she was in the group.
Right.
She was in the support group, so he does find his victims there. I couldn't, and then they all disappear, and I kind of couldn't tell whether it's, I don't know. Do you think that was real world? Like those
at
were
the end there?
Her mother's in pain. Yeah, her mother's in pain, and he feeds off people in pain, right? People have no hope, and
right.
I'd say
yeah,
that Candy's mother
world, yeah.
fits into that. Yeah.
You know,
I don't know. What
you,
up,
you know,
yeah.
villains. You know, not necessarily villains, but people. Everybody thinks they're right until they are proven to realize they're not. And
yeah.
I like, you know, they're talking to Andre, and he's like, how he goes. He's like, she's like, you know, you're feeding off people's pain for your own gain. And he's like, oh, like you never use your powers for self gain. I'm like, she has, but she didn't do it to her. Well, she did one time, which was messed up, and she's, you know, made up for it. But they don't go around hurting people just to ease their own pain and suffering. You know what I mean? Like, he is
yeah.
intentionally putting people into despair because of his headache.
Yes.
You know? So, it's just funny how you rationale something depending on how you look at it.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely bad. And this business of how he's going to become a god, which I think is a little, I'm not sure it's going to be what he thinks it's going to be.
Until just last week, I wasn't really sure where they were going with his character. Because
right.
And I'm pretty sure, based on what I saw in this episode and seeing his history and everything, I'm pretty sure that he is a character in the comics called Despair. Now, in the comics, Despair is a demon. Despair is a demon.
Okay.
And doesn't have, like, a human persona, which is why, you know, I didn't know that that's where they were going with him. I had a feeling, but I wasn't sure.
Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of, like you said, he's kind of a god. He's kind of crossed over or whatever. So I'm not sure how they're going to play this, considering, you know, considering the comic character is a demon. I'm not sure if, you know, how or where they're going to go with it exactly.
Well,
like,
he may get.
I guess
could get,
the best way, like you said, I don't think it's going to be what he thinks it is.
No, I'm pretty sure when you make a deal with Papa Legba, it never like really goes in your favor, right? And so he could get turned into some type of demon or whatever. But the danger right now is that he is going to like eliminate, like he's just going to start like. Disappearing people, kind of, right? Like, he's going to, like, the population
well,
of New
sure
Orleans is,
now.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what that was about, and they all just disappeared, except for Tandy and I guess those were all people who were without hope, right?
They weren't under his spell, so.
Yeah. Not anymore, at least. I mean, Tandy got out of his spell.
Yeah, but I mean, at that moment, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I like what they're doing. I feel like the whole Roxxon thing is sort of like been instrumental and yet totally cast by the wayside. Like there's like the way everybody gets their powers
Roxxon,
is due to Roxxon.
Roxxon's a MacGuffin. You know, like
yes,
everything.
Yeah.
You know, Roxxon has had little cameos in the Avengers movies and you know, so it's just one of those things where Roxxon's a corporation and anything that can possibly go wrong or has gone wrong or is responsible for something is Roxxon.
Yes.
That's all.
Yeah. You're right. They are. I totally get that. That makes total sense there. I guess we have a bunch of stuff that needs to get resolved next week. I feel like Avita is probably going to be a big part of it. I feel like, you know, earlier in the season, a big chunk of this was related to like Voodoo and Papa Legba. And then Avita has, you know, taken one for the team basically. Which it kind of bothers me that she hasn't been seen since, because of anyone on the show, Avita has made the biggest sacrifice in a way that wasn't really earned. Avita like basically sacrifices her entire future to save Tyrone and agrees to marry like Papa Samadhi or whatever his name was. Right. I never saw that. I guess it was hard for me to see. I didn't see, we talked about this, that level of love between them, that I believe that she loved Tyrone so much that she'd give up her entire life for him. But she did. But, like, there better be some payoff for her. Like, she better be a part of this, because for her character to have made that sacrifice and for a storyline that's so tied to the Voodoo stuff, I feel like they owe it to her character to make her a player in eliminating this threat or subduing it for the time
being. I'm sure they will
in
some way, shape, or form, especially since she's the she's the resident expert on all this stuff now. Don't confuse her, how much she cared about Tyrone for doing what she did. That was part of it, but it's also her family legacy. You know what I mean? Like, her entire life, this was going to happen to her one day when her aunt died. You know, like when she says her aunt,
plans.
Yeah, she says I was going to get out. I was going to be a doctor, and her aunt's like, yeah, that was you being foolish and selfish.
Yeah,
this is
it was never going to happen.
It's always been your path. She's like, own up to your family obligation. Just shut the, you know, basically she said, shut the hell up, stop being a whiny baby, and do your shit.
Poor Avita. Yeah. So, well, I hope that she will. I feel like that was a huge step in a way that makes her no longer a side character. Maybe not fully a star or equal to our two superheroes, but that she has earned a role in the denouement of the season, right?
Well,
that's how I feel.
I mean, you know, I feel like now that Avita is but her and Bridget are the sidekicks more or less now. You know, they're the supporting cast that's going to help out in their specialty field.
Yeah.
You know, they need some kind of police help, it's going to be Bridget. If they need some kind of voodoo shit, it's going to be Avita.
Yeah. Well, good. I'd like to see her get a little more screen action. Yeah.
So.
Poor thing.
Right.
So, all right. Next week.
Talk about it in a
all
right.
Marriage,
right?
Yeah, right?
All right. So, now the 100.
Yeah.
Which
what
you
would
might
you like?
Be surprised to hear me say. I
don't
didn't
say you liked
hate
it.
Oh, I didn't say I liked it. I just said I didn't hate it. It actually felt. It didn't feel crazy, for once. It didn't
really?
Feel, you know, there was nothing. It felt more compact and concise and put together than any. Okay, I'm also comparing this to everything from last season and the first couple of seasons this year. This is the most normal type of episode there's been. Okay?
One
thing I liked, we complained every week about everybody giving Clark a hard time. Oh, Clark, we hate you. Clark, you're so mean. Clark, you're in this question. But you know what? That conversation, they finally gave somebody a coherent sentence. You know,
they did. Who?
Clark, you're so terrible. Raven. When Clark was talking to Raven, and Raven's like, just say your sorries, you know, and, you know, the whole thing about, you know, we all hate Octavia. She's awful. She's ruthless. But you know what? At least she owns her shit. She doesn't make excuses for it, and she stands by it. Which, you know what? They're not wrong. Clark backpedals every move she's made last season.
Yeah.
So she was, you know, that's probably the best conversation somebody's had with Clark about all her mistakes from the past season. You know, prior to last season, Clark was actually pretty good at, you know, backing up her plans and, you know, and sticking by them and whatnot. Even when they were wrong. If they were wrong, she said, listen, we could have done it differently, I made a mistake. But nobody got on her shit until last year, you know?
Yeah.
Last year, she made some really bonehead moves. And every time she did, we were like, oh, God, stop being like Abby.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so
that was the other good thing. No Abby.
Abby wasn't in it. No Abby and Kane is frozen. Yeah. Yeah, so there are some things that I didn't like. So apparently they introduced this new character of Monty's son just so he can be like the worst person ever. and like run his mouth. That's what he knows nothing about. Like, he literally knows nothing about, did not experience any of what he was talking about. He's telling these stories and he caused all this trouble. I really don't like his character. What I really don't like is the overarching storyline of how these people are Nightblood. Like, they have a Nightblood born every, it's basic. What I don't like is that we are continuing the worst part of the previous stories and the worst part of the mythology, that I have to watch basically another story about Allie and the flame, right? These people are basically putting the flame into new Nightbloods all the time, except they erase the memory instead of keeping it. So what happened on Earth was that you got the flame, but you kept your memories and you had the memories of all the commanders. And basically the one commander erases people before installing the flame, right? Like, I feel like I'm watching the same storyline. Like, couldn't they think of anything new? There's a totally new planet. It's a total reboot of the show. And we have basically Allie's technology and the flame and the Nightbloods over again.
Yeah, pretty much.
That, I don't know. Did that bother you? It bothers me. I'm just at a point where I'm ready for everything to bother me. Is that my problem?
That's very, very possible. I'm kind of there too. They've completely regurgitated the story. And changed it up a little.
Yeah.
Not a lot, just a little.
So when you're born, because like in Polis, when you were born in Nightblood, you were destined for, you know, to compete to be the commander, and have the flame put in you.
These people have, the one percenters are all Nightbloods.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, of course, guess what? The evil people in the forest running around turned out to, they're the good guys, right? Like, they're like Death to Prime.
Cool.
Gabriel, is that his name? The mystery man Gabriel, who we haven't met yet. But those people that are like running around the woods going, death to Primes, death to Primes. Like, yeah, because the Primes are the same original people who landed 265 years ago and are using the flame, the chip, Allie's chip, to like basically give themselves like immortality.
Now, Did you see that coming, that what happened with Clark when they put the daughter in, that it was the daughter from that that flashback that we got in episode two?
I only saw it coming when they were talking about, like, oh, our daughter and our baby, and like I at first I thought maybe it was that kid. I mean, they were intending to put her into that little girl, Rose. That's why they were like, we'd have to wait 25 years for her to grow up and another 10 years for this and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
We can just put our baby in there right now. And I was like, yes, because that guy is the same actor who played the father, right? Or he looks very much like him.
No,
so I've
he
always,
looks a lot like him. Yeah,
so I've always
too.
Thought
I,
that he...
I have seen double take a couple of times.
He always makes me think of the father when I look at him, because he looks exactly like him. But I didn't really like see it coming. If they were like, we all knew something bad was going to happen, and that Clark totally shouldn't have been sleeping with that creepy guy, right? Like, I knew that that was going to go bad.
Clark sleeps with people.
Yes, he does. And that these people are way too nice and weird stuff is happening. But I didn't really, it wasn't until they said, like, okay, we're going to erase your brain and then put in like a new person. And I was like, oh, then I like, I didn't see it coming until it came, but I didn't like it.
Gotcha.
Just because I felt like I've watched the story before. And I guess, you know, I guess we're going to see, it's going to be related to, you know how Maddie's been seeing this kind of scary commander that we've never heard of before?
Yeah.
I feel like that somehow is, I don't know, going to be related or help her or something. I mean, I feel like where this is going is Maddie's going to be like, you don't have to erase brains. You can, like, have the wisdom of the commanders in your brain and be yourself or whatever, right? And it will fall to Maddie to somehow, like, get Clark to remember so the mind wipe doesn't work. I mean, I feel like frankly, the things you said about Octavia are totally true, and it really bothers me that Octavia and Dioza are becoming the more interesting storyline, because I hate them both. I hate them both, and they shouldn't just be redeemed like that. They're not redeemed yet, but go there. Please go there. Speak about it. What do you think?
Well, first of all, Dioza, she makes that original deal, and she's like, so my baby can live there, but I can't. And they're like, take it or leave it. And I'm thinking, she's totally a selfish person. She's going to be like, I'll leave it. You guys go find them yourself. And she, like, makes the deal. Like, she did the right thing for her child. I'm like, that's not you. So she doesn't do the right thing for anybody other than
herself. Well, I never believed her.
Like,
I figured she'd take
like,
the deal for now and
well,
until she could.
All right, that's,
I mean,
well,
I
that's
don't...
a good point. But I totally expected her to be like, go screw yourself. And then these people are so dumb. You know, they live in this
crazy
world, but they're dumb as shit because they get there and she's like, oh, let's, you know, she's like, oh, we won the day. And then Dios is like, let's make sure they're all dead first. And then that chick stands up and is like, we're not. And the little girl gets shot.
People are dumb.
You need people like, you know, Dios and... Octavia. Apparently, because you guys are fucking idiots. And Octavia actually had a shining moment too, because she tried to protect the little girl. You know, hell, she did. She helped escape. You know, it was like, you know, in that moment though, when Octavia was captured and she was keeping her cool and just kind of like checking things out, you know, being decisive and watching the lay of the land and, you know, breaking them out. I was like, holy crap. They can't do this to us, because that's the Octavia we knew and loved before last season. That was Octavia through and through right there. That was the smart, charismatic character we grew to love.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they can't just turn her back. They can't just turn it around and expect us to be like, oh, we forgot about season two.
Oh, nice. Oh, good. Good characters back. Yeah. You're right. They can't just do
that
and just turn her around and be like, oh, we're going to like fix Octavia and go back to. No, she has to like pay for the decisions she made and the things she did. For sure.
Of course, then
like,
they reverted her right back when she tackled the woman and snapped her neck.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, there's one missing. We better go find him.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we see where this is going. Octavia and Diosa are going to go in there and they're going to wreak havoc. And then they're going to, they join forces with them and go take over the compound.
Yep.
And it's just going to
be the leaders.
And it's, you know what it is? It's so obvious. We don't need to watch because everything that we know is going to happen is going to happen because they've become very predictable on this show, except for the part where they're so stupid that we can't understand. The parts that weren't predictable was last season. We did not predict them turning our beloved characters into
horrible characters.
Caricatures. Just awful, awful characters. And then trying to make us feel sorry for a mass murderer like Diosa.
Yeah,
and then killing the only decent person on the ship.
They killed the decent people. And the mass murderer were supposed to be like, oh, she needs a place to raise her baby. You know, someone pointed out last week, was it Octavia? Or it was Maddie who said, oh, the child of two mass murderers, I can't wait to meet her. Which is, thank God someone, one of the writers, is reminding us of that she's not just becoming this sympathetic, like, just because she's pregnant doesn't make her a sympathetic character.
Right.
She's a horrible person, yeah.
Sympathy. How did you feel about Echo's backstory that we finally heard about?
What did we hear about Echo? I might not have been paying attention because I've never really liked Echo. She talked about how her mother was killed and then she was taken away to there's a
commander.
Cop outside. Did you hear that? She was taken away to like train to be by the commander, and trained to be a spy.
Yeah.
And how I'm supposed to feel sorry for her because she never intended to be a spy and because her like I don't necessarily feel sorry for her because every single person on the show has a story like that. Like, the 100 were all in jail when it started for whatever reason, and a lot of them didn't deserve it, right?
Yeah,
and then
a lot of
everyone.
Stupid shit.
Yeah, and that sucked, right? Like Octavia was in jail for being born, right? And everyone has a sad story, and many, many people have seen, like, their parents killed or their friends killed or whatever, and I feel sorry for her. It's a sad story, but it's no sadder than anyone else's, really, right?
That's
it's no sadder than...
I really wasn't going for you to, be like, oh, poor Echo. No, I just meant, out of the blue, we get this backstory for Echo. I was just curious what your thoughts on it were. But you know what, I noticed? It kind of reflected Octavia's childhood. Octavia was the girl who lived under the floor. Echo was living in the walls and then watched her mother burned alive.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was definitely horrible what happened to her. You raise a good point. This is a character who had no backstory that we really cared about. She was just a spy for Tree Crew or Ice Crew or wherever she came from. I guess the fact that they decided that she's going to be Bellamy's partner necessitated a backstory, because I guess we need to feel like they fell in love off screen out of nowhere.
Right.
And we need to, on the one hand, we need to see why he loves her. On the other hand, he never heard that story before. Like,
right.
They were in space
were in
for 6 years with only six people.
Yeah.
Right? Like, nothing to do but talk. And he never heard that story. And
there was something else to do. Which is amazing that they didn't have any children before now.
Yeah. Well, one thing they had plenty of on the arc was birth control, right? Because nobody could have babies.
This is tough.
That's how poor Octavia got in the situation she's in. But yeah, I don't really care about her. I kind of don't expect her to stick around. Like I kind of
really
expect her to be killed. I kind of expect her to die in service of Bellamy's character development. I just feel like, I don't know. I just don't know if I see them as like a long-term happy couple.
Bellamy's got all kinds of character development. He's the least person that needs character development. I'll tell you, you know what probably the most of the episode? Seeing Clark in a dress again.
That was weird, wasn't it?
Dancing and having fun. And that threw me.
Yeah. Well, and it was a mistake, right? I think we all felt from the beginning that, like, they need to be more suspicious. I know that she's like, I'm playing a part and I have to like act this way so they'll like us, so they'll keep us. No one seemed to react when the boss said, like, you guys can stay, but no more can come down from the sky.
Right. What were they going to do?
Well, yeah. You have to let them all down.
I think everybody's game plan is, you know, let's show them, you know, that we're trustworthy and then we'll let more people down. Of course, some of those people, I don't know, you want to let them down because there are a lot of them are barbarians that don't want to interact nicely.
Yeah. I guess I'm just not liking this whole storyline. The last time they went to the ground, it was like, is the Earth survivable? And there were all these like natural things they had to fight. They did have to fight some bugs in the first episode. But Earth was loaded with all sorts of natural hazards. And then the grounders, you know, came and they were sort of presented as a primitive tribe at first. And the Mount Weather people were more sophisticated. But like these people have an incredibly advanced society. I mean, like, I'm not really sure, like, how'd they build all this shit? Like, they came down on a Legis vessel, and they have managed to, like, build up, like, they print books, they build houses, they make all this food, they have technology to wipe your brain. Like, it's amazing to me
technology to wipe your brain is the flame. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
They've also been there 250 years.
They have, yeah. I mean, that's like the difference between like coming to Plymouth.
Times, yeah.
Yeah. That's between like 1608 and 1858, yeah. On this planet. I don't know. I guess what I really object to is like the flame. That basically, it's the flame, right?
Yeah.
It is
the flame. It's a flame.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they fly through space for 80 years. And they land on the only planet where the flame is also their biggest problem.
No, I will say this. It's not what I was expecting. I was really expecting it to be as simple as they land on the planet. It's funny because we're getting a somewhat regurgitated story. But not as much as I thought we were going to get. You know, I thought we were going to have new grounders we had to play. And, you know, it's kind of, I don't know. It's become a show about who will be fighting next. Who, you know, figure out who the good guys really are and then help them fight and beat the bad guys. That's what the show has become.
So it's basically The Walking Dead, where, you know, the next people you meet are also trying to kill you. And like the people are the most dangerous thing you can encounter, right? I guess I was expecting them maybe to get to a planet that wasn't populated by humans, although I got to give them credit that it is certainly cheaper to have your planet populated by humans because you're casting humans and not have to do a lot of like, you know, costumes and whatever. And it makes sense that the Allegis ship found, you know, where Allegis went or whatever. And you know, we've seen what it was like to be the sky people come to the ground. We didn't get much exploration of what it meant to basically be the grounders when people came from the sky. We really only had one season of dealing with like, you know, the 100 and out of ground people and the sky people coming.
The grounders were automatically, well, you know, that doesn't count because they were awful people. You know, Sky Crew, they weren't bad people. They were a bunch of teenagers who came down to see if, you know, the human, you know, the adults could come down and live. You know, and the Grounders were immediately the bad guys because they were, you know, it's funny because the Grounders were savage and barbarian-like, but they had a pretty good, you know, monarchy
system.
You know, they had it, you know?
Yeah.
So there was no reason for them to really be barbaric the way they saw them work. You know, the criminals don't count because they're automatically bad. They're mass murderers. They're not gonna. They're no good any way, shape, or form. So we really don't get. The. You know, because our people, you know, one crew, is, essentially our good guys. You know, and really, really bad people are coming down. You know, now we're getting a situation where it's, okay, which side is bad? You know, so it's just more, it's the same story every season with a little bit of a twist. And now we've got a really, same story.
Really bad story. And so we saw nothing of what was happening up on the Allegis ship in space, in orbit. We didn't see anything of them this week. Who's up there? I guess Abby's in control up there. Who's the, like, there's no, like, chancellor now or leader up there.
Abby went back to the ship?
Oh, no, Abby's down on did Abby come down with Maddie? No, Abby's up in the air, right?
Okay, I don't know where Abby is. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't care where Abby is. How about that?
No, but we saw
Maddie,
nothing of what's happening up top with Gaia. Maddie and Gaia are, like, hanging around somewhere in the woods, right?
Well, Maddie and Gaia are on the jump ship.
Yeah. Hiding out on
the
jump ship.
I don't think there's anybody on the mothership other than the ice cubes.
Isn't Abby up there?
No, I think Abby might be on the jump ship. Or she was in town and just not talking to people. I don't know. I really have no idea where Abby is.
Someone's got to be up there.
Why?
But at any rate, I don't know. I feel like where this is going is that they're going to need all those bad guys to come down and kill all the primes, right? To join forces with. I mean, I like.
Why do we need anybody from the ship to take care of the primes? You're telling me, I mean, honestly, not for nothing, Bellamy probably single-handedly can take care of them. They're not really that dangerous.
Yeah.
They're only dangerous because nobody realizes what's going on.
Yeah, you're right. Like, it would be a great way to get rid of a whole bunch of, like, nameless red shirt characters to just, like, have that ship, like, never come down or blow up or whatever, except Kane is up there.
You know, I like the idea. You know, that they said, okay, you guys, nobody else right now.
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't know. Is there anybody else? Other than Kane, who he can blow up 10 times for all I care.
Yeah.
Is there anybody else on the ship that isn't integral to the show?
No, I don't think anybody's. I don't think anybody's up there except Kane.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think there's anybody. Everybody else is just.
Yeah, it's just
extras.
Everybody came down.
You know who's on the other ship? I can't think of her name. Clark's ex-girlfriend there. The blonde.
Clark's ex-girlfriend,
the
blonde.
The one that was the shopkeeper, and she's been training.
Yeah.
The one that woke up on
I forget her name also.
That's Abby.
Yeah.
Can't forget the character's name.
No. Yeah, she's up there. There's a few people up there.
She's up there.
But I think you're right that the way this will go is that Octavian Dioza will team up with the mysterious Gabriel and his people to bring death to primes. And if they're not careful, Octavia end up being the head of this crew also. Octavia will be their boss again if they don't watch out.
That'd be awesome.
That would be kind
keep
of awesome.
Going. Shit.
Given that this show's already been renewed for next year, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I can't understand that.
Okay.
But it happened.
Somebody at the CW likes the 100.
Yeah. I don't know why, but
it's
they do.
It's as simple as that.
Yep. So, yeah, we probably already talked more than this show deserved because it wasn't that I mean, there was a lot of,
like I said,
it's
the best episode we've had in a while, though.
It was, because it was basically the party in the Ewok village is basically what happened. you know, it was mostly
Nyla.
Like, yeah. Well, it looks like Raven, Nyla, that's her name. I'm a little disappointed that Raven is bouncing back so quickly from her boyfriend's death. She was so in love with him. And he's been dead, and she's already flirting with, like, the next guy, right? Like,
yeah,
she's been, like, Clark got him killed.
But was she really flirting with him so much as she wanted to play with some mechanical toys?
Well, yeah. Maybe he was trying to flirt.
She just had to go through him to get to the motorcycle.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think they are all trying to figure out, now that they know Clark's a Nightblood, they'll be trying to figure out if any of the rest of these guys are Nightbloods, and they're not, except for Maddie, right? No one's a Nightblood except Maddie.
Right, which eventually is going to somehow come out
accidentally. Because Clark's entire motivation is now as being a mother, like she's turned into Abby, right? Except it's a little unearned because we didn't, like, I believe it more now. It took me like a season to see Clark's motherly tendencies of with her daughter, but I see it. But yeah, that's gonna and somehow the power of this scary commander is gonna like make it, I don't know, it's gonna be important by the end.
Probably.
Anyway, yeah. So anything else happened this week that bears talking about? Probably not.
I don't think so.
No? All right.
I'm actually looking at IMDb right now. I'm
just to get a quick
anybody. I'm just curious to see if there's anybody saw the ship that we haven't thought about that actually matters.
I mean, Kane is like a key character in that he could come back or he could stay indefinitely, right? I mean, it's not clear to me if he's. It's not clear if he'll be back on the Passage now that we saw a time jump of, like, you know, post-nuclear bomb. His character could be dead on the Passage, in which case he would have played a very minor role. But he can, you know, not that people can't work on two shows. We talk about this.
Especially when they film at different times.
Yes. Speaking of being on two shows, little Walking Dead reference here. So Lauren Cohan's new show,
Whiskey
Cavalier, was canceled.
Whiskey Cavalier, yeah.
Yeah, it was canceled. Yeah. Yeah, I read online that I read a cancel renew list, and it was canceled. That on the one hand, that frees her to come back to Walking Dead. On the other hand, I don't think she'd come back to Walking Dead. She walked because they wouldn't pay her. And so, you know what? Don't come back to a show where they don't pay you, Lauren. Right? Stay away, Lauren. So,
I don't think she will. She seemed pretty peeved.
Yeah. Yeah. With good reason.
All right.
So, next week, we got these two shows
again
and maybe
week.
Some new stuff. Yep. Okay.
Yep. We got the finale. Yep.
Great.
We'll have the finale of Cloak and Dagger, and we'll hate talk some 100.
We will. Okay.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
All right.
We appreciate it. Hope everybody had a good Memorial Day weekend, and we'll do it again next week. Thanks. And
all right, thanks,
good
AJ.
Night.
Good night.